Chapter 11, The Instance of Creation. 6 months after their marriage, life in the village continued, and Joseph witnessed Mary's boundless compassion and unwavering desire to serve God. She performed acts of charity throughout the village, caring tenderly for the ill and the dying. And every morning and every evening, she raised her voice in prayer for the salvation of mankind. One evening, within the quiet confines of her modest room, Mary lay prostrate in prayer, her arms outstretched in the form of a cross. In a voice laden with yearning and humility, she cried, "When will the only begotten of the Father descend in reality to unite himself with human nature? Who detains the current of the divinity so that the whole human race remains unfulfilled? If perhaps I am a hindrance, let me perish before I impede this blessing, for it cannot depend upon the merits of any creature. Lord and God eternal, as the sins of men increase and the offenses against thee are multiplied, how shall we merit the very blessings of which we become daily more unworthy? I venture to beseech thee from the bottom of my heart to speed thy coming and to hasten the redemption for thy greater glory." At that moment, the celestial music of the Almighty swelled into the heavens, heralding the dawn of the plan of salvation. That very night, and for the following 9 days, at the same midnight hour, Mary was raised by divine power, her being illuminated as visions of the divinity unfolded before her eyes. Each night, she was shown the instance of creation. The first instant was God's revelation of his infinite attributes and the ineffable desire to communicate his glory. In the second instant, she learned the determination of the purpose behind this divine communication. In the third instant, the careful selection and arrangement of this message was revealed. In this sacred sequence, the perfect composition of the holy humanity of Christ was decreed and modeled into divine intelligence. The fourth instant of creation revealed the gifts and graces to be conferred upon Christ's humanity in union with the divinity, as well as the decree and predestination of the Mother of the Divine Word, along with the creation of a dwelling place where heaven and earth would be defined. In the fifth instant, Mary witnessed the creation of the angelic nature, the division of celestial hosts into 9 choirs with their hierarchies, the predestination of the good and the reprobation of the wicked, and in the very creation of heaven and hell. Lastly, in the sixth instant, God revealed the creation of a people, the determined order of the entire human race, beginning with one man and one woman, whose progeny would eventually herald the birth of the Virgin and her Son. The fall of Adam was foreseen, and as a remedy, it was ordained that the most holy humanity should be capable of suffering. These divine visions endowed Mary with wisdom beyond comprehension, a knowledge of reason, art, and science surpassing that of all men. Into the heart and mind of our princess flowed the vast ocean of divinity, previously confined by the sins and evil dispositions of mankind. She perceived in the Most High an ineffable treasure of grace and blessings prepared for all mortals, and felt the divine's infinite desire for humanity to partake in these eternal gifts. This profound awareness led her to offer the most exalted prayers, petitions, sacrifices, and acts of heroic love so that no one might damn themselves, but instead give thanks to the Creator. In those moments, Mary felt as though she was present at the very beginning of creation. On the ninth evening, as ordained by God, the angel Gabriel was dispatched to visit Mary. The hour was nearly six. The sun still lingered in the sky when Gabriel, accompanied by a choir of angels, appeared in her room. Though Mary was accustomed to divine visitations, she remained in prayer until she raised her head and beheld Gabriel's unusual grandeur. In that sparse room that was empty except for her simple cot, every surface seemed suffused with an unearthly majesty, and her thoughts quickly converged on a single wondrous conclusion. Is it possible that the blessed time has arrived in which the word of the Eternal Father is to be born? Oh, who shall be worthy to see and know him? Oh, who shall be allowed to kiss the earth, touched by his feet? Mary inquired, her voice trembling with awe. Gabriel replied in a sonorous tone, Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed are you among women. Perplexed yet uplifted, Mary asked, What say thee, Gabriel, messenger of God? Who am I to be greeted with such a salutation? Blessed among women? Do not fear, Mary, Gabriel comforted her, for thou hast found grace before the Lord. Behold, thou shalt give birth to him, and thou shalt name him Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called Son of the Most High. How shall this happen, that I conceive and bear, since I know not nor can know man? Mary questioned, her heart both anxious and hopeful. It is by divine power alone that thou shalt become a mother without the cooperation of man, explained Gabriel. The Holy Spirit shall remain with thee, manifesting as a new presence, and the virtue of the Most High shall overshadow thee, so that the one who shall be called the Son of God be born. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth has likewise conceived a son, and he shall come before him, for nothing is impossible for God. With these words, our Blessed Mother spoke the beginning of our salvation. In a voice filled with reverence and surrender, Mary pronounced, Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Thus, her resounding yes to the will of God, Mary came to comprehend the immeasurable love the Lord bore for humankind. The intensity of that love was unlike anything she had ever known. Her pure and immaculate heart swelled with such joy and emotion that it wept three drops of blood, a sacred sign. With these drops, mingled with the Lord's boundless love for all humanity, was formed Christ, true God and true man, our Lord and Redeemer. This miraculous event occurred on the 25th of March at dawn, in the very hour that our first father Adam was made, in the year of the world's creation, 5199.